You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're now listening to TMZ Verified, the podcast.
Make sure to check us out every week for free on Wednesdays.
And make sure to like, follow, subscribe with us on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget, full episodes are available on YouTube. Just search the TMZ Podcast Network.
On to the show.
Yep, it's TMZ Verified, the podcast. I'm Wild.
I'm Steph.
Oh, I'm so used to it. And I'm Jacob.
I know. It's just us today.
Okay. Also, clickety-clack, I'm back.
Clickety-clack, I'm back.
I know the block was missing me last week. Nobody was missing me.
Everyone missed
you. Thank you. I was on vacation, but I'm back to work, y'all.
He's back. Mm-hmm. We're all back.
We got a good show for y'all today.
We have some great stories. Do you want to kick it off?
Wait, but we also have an interview with Kelsey Dangerous later. Right. The, like, Sims Twitch streaming queen.
YouTuber, former BuzzFeed producer. You know her well.
And
if you don't, this interview will give you everything you need to know.
No, also, if you like never played The Sims, I don't know who hasn't played the like life simulation game The Sims. It is really good.
And this will be, this is the best marketing Sims
No, for real. I'm like, does Kelsey work for The Sims? I don't know. But let's talk about somebody else who's been playing House over the last 9 months.
You're hot and heavy.
You already know. Pete Davidson is reportedly in trauma therapy, a source revealed to People. Per the outlet, the SNL alum has been in trauma therapy since April of this year, in large part due to the threatening post by Kanye West. The insider claimed that the attention and the negativity coming from Kanye and his antics is a trigger for Pete, and he needed or he had to seek help. Of course, you're looking at me because I can already see the sadness in your eyes. Of course, last week, Pete and Kim decided to split after that breakup made headlines. What was it? Monday? So a few days later, Kanye went on Instagram and he goes, hold up. He didn't. Kinda... Kanye went on Instagram and he since deleted the post, but he posted a altered New York Post like newspaper headline that essentially read, Skeet Davidson dead at 28.
Uncalled for.
I mean, definitely uncalled.
Just out of pocket.
Definitely uncalled for, but I know what you're thinking. Aw, Pete.
So sad. I am a stan of Pete. So I really liked them together and the fact that they're broken up now. I feel like this was a really good fresh start for Kanye to be like, I got my Instagram back. I kind of got my girl back, at least single. Even if she's not interested, like he still, you know, might feel good for him to have her single, right? Play your cards right. So True. He didn't, and he posted that. So I just think, you know, he's probably emotional and going through the motions just like everyone else.
Right.
All three of them somehow are involved in this relationship, even though it involves two people. So,
and I kind of feel like it's one of those things where I don't know if this is one of those like, oh, peace situations, because in my head, I'm like, don't cry for him, Argentina. Let me tell you why. Because hear me out. Kim and Pete split after 9 months, right? 9 months, 3 tattoos, a branding with
a
hot
coming back to the
iron. I mean, it's like, bruh, if you're going to get therapy, it need to be for something else. Because honestly, all of this is given clingy. It's given attachment issues.
Okay,
it's given should have been in therapy before this whole Pete, like Kim situation started. Because who does that?
Okay.
9 months after you date somebody, it's like, nope.
Okay, in case
clearly
you guys
something's
forgot,
a little ticky-ticky boom boom up here.
Okay, in case you guys forgot, Pete also has tattoos of the kids' names, and Kim, you know, hasn't been confirmed permanently, but he has tattoos of
three tattoos total. I counted before we started this, and I looked at the pictures. Three and
he
the branding.
He has tattoos of the kids and her, which to some people thinks that means he's committed and shows his, you know, responsibility to Kim and the kids, taking over that stepdad role. Wild thinks it's too soon. You know, people
to other people that like, this is crazy as hell.
Okay, well, they're broken up now.
They are broken up
now. He still has the tattoos, clearly. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be the next thing. Is he going to get these tattoos removed? Yes or no?
Yeah.
But yeah, they're definitely broken up. Kanye seems to still be on Pete. He's not
Kanye
over it.
Kanye was waiting for this. But also, let me just say this. Like, I am the biggest mental health advocate. Like, therapy, mental health days, whatever you need to do for you. Like, do you, boo. But at some point, I think Pete has to sit back and be like, or try to figure out, why every situation that he's in gravely impacts his mental health at the end of it. Like, think about when him and Ariana broke up. It was like Pete same was devastated.
Same with Kaya Gerber. He ended that because of mental health issues. So I think really he needs to focus on himself, be single for a bit. Sometimes they do say, like, you can't be with someone mm-hmm. else until you've, you know, love yourself first. And maybe he needs to do a little bit of that.
I feel that. And in the P and Kim situation, they obviously broke up, according to sources, because their schedules were too busy. But again, it's just one of those things where it's like, goddamn, Pete, every time somebody break up with your ass or you break up with somebody, you're like on the floor, like pick your ass up and like,
needs to focus on himself and see where that was like deeply rooted. Also, if you think about it, they're both workaholics in a way of really focused on their careers, not workaholics, but like really focused on their careers, really passionate. So that's probably what they had in common and maybe the reason for their breakup. They both love to work. So it could be a lot of things.
Also, Kim, like, I just got back in the streets. I am not trying to be held down. Like, no, we don't know that. We don't know that. All right, Steph, what do you got?
Addison Rae, the TikTok queen.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Addison Rae's dad publicly creating drama, just outwardly. Addison Rae's parents have been deeply involved in her social media career since the beginning. And they're usually known as like the happy TikTok couple until I would say the past couple of months, maybe even a year. Tensions are high for the family, especially right now after Addison's father, Monty Lopez, had an alleged affair with a 25-year-old a little while ago. That's not the news here. The news is since Addison's mom has been single since he allegedly cheated, she quickly started making TikToks alluding to her being intrigued by rapper Young Gravy. Which quickly launched Addison's dad into a jealous rage.
What?
Now, Young Gravy is a rapper, but he's really going viral on TikTok
right
Gravy's
now.
Yeah,
Young Gravy's
kind of hot now. Yeah, his song is like really cool or whatever, and trending with every TikTok you could imagine. And he went on the Jeff Wittick podcast and said that the rumors about him and Addison's mom were not only true, but because they're gonna go on a date. She just lives in Louisiana.
What?
They're going to go on a date soon. So Monty then made several TikToks directed at Young Gravy specifically, tagging him. Also tagging him incorrectly sometimes. Not to call him out.
You know when your dad, like your mom do something and
you
it's
know,
like wrong person.
You can tell maybe it's not the, you know, tagging him incorrectly and calling him out to do a boxing match. That seems to be the thing.
How
nowadays.
Old is Monty Lopez? 40,
in his 40s.
I think like 43, 46, something around there. How old is Young Gravy?
Young. Several influencers like Bryce Hall and Tana Mojo directly reacted to Addison's dad's behavior. By directly, I mean literally stitching the video, reacting to this. Mm-hmm. And as we know, Tana Mojo has talked on our podcast about Monty Lopez and her experiences with him. And it's been a little bit creepy. And she also mentioned other friends of hers and people she knows that have also had creepy interactions with Monty, allegedly. And so for this all to come together, you would think maybe Monty would be a little bit more muted.
Like low-key? No.
Because there's receipts. He, after she duetted this video and made comments about, you know, him coming for Young Gravy, he made a comment about Tana's body count.
What?
In a comment. And as we know, that is just not okay. And no matter what it is, you shouldn't be talking about it.
True,
and this just puts more heat on Monty Lopez. And who I feel sorry for in this situation is obviously Addison.
Poor Addison. Like, Addison is sitting at home minding her business and niggle her dad acting like he ain't got no sense.
And she unfollowed her mom on social media recently as well. And she's probably going through a lot right now, clearly, but this is just super messy. And listen, if you cheat or allegedly cheat, your mom is now free to do whatever. And if Young Gravy is your stepdad,
that's
iconic.
I just feel like this is one of those things. Do we think that, I don't even know if Young Gravy was talking. Like, it just, even though he said it, I just feel like he was like.
No, but keep this in mind too. Bryce Hall was one of the people to duet Monty Lopez's antics on TikTok. You know, that is Addison Rae's ex-boyfriend.
True.
So imagine your ex-girlfriend reacting to a video of your dad on social media, maybe being cringy.
It's like, what the hell did Monty do to all these people that all these people
it's
got
to be so hard. Like, my parents aren't like on social media. And
oh yeah,
so,
no, my mom, even when she like posts on my Instagram, I'm like, delete, mom, like, don't be commenting.
But imagine if your parents were really in the social media scene with you from the beginning and with your career, and remember some of those texts that Monty sent to that 25-year-old.
I'd be so embarrassed.
We're talking jet money, you know, so like he's flaunting her money around the whole thing. But
I mean, Addison looks really good in that new commercial, though, but goddamn.
Oh, yeah, she's killing it. Oh, hopefully this literally makes her be even more successful with her anger.
It seems like it's about time for Addison to maybe like
cut him off.
I was about to say, as messed up as it sounds, like distance herself from her parents, because I haven't heard about any Addison Rae news in the last week or so. But Monty, My boy Monty is on every blog, and like Monty is more popping than you, Addison, this week at least. So it's like I think that she maybe needs to like take a step back a little bit.
And being like a human being in this situation, like really, you got to think about how hard that is, both your parents.
Yeah,
so
true.
So yeah, that's a pretty intense story. Don't know what's gonna go on with that, but prayers for Addison. Justice for Addison.
Justice for Addison.
What do you got next?
All right. So this is one of my favorite stories of the week, just because it's just funny as hell. People in Italy have basically told Domino's to kick rocks. The pizza chain recently announced that it is closing. Because we don't want that. Like, the people in Italy are like, we don't want Domino's. The pizza chain recently announced that it is closing the last of its 29 stores in Italy simply because Italians want their own pizza. Domino's had high hopes when they opened its restaurant, or they opened up, like, their first branches of the Domino's stores in 2015. And they had plans to open 880 stores across Italy, which is, like...
Insane.
And I will say that a lot of their... original reliance was going to be on like the delivery services. So they offered pizza in the stores, but they were really like, okay, we are now bringing home delivered pizza to Italy. The company, like I said, they initially initially introduced this, and then 8 years later, they are essentially leaving Italy.
See ya.
I feel this because I feel
if
like
if I lived in Italy, the why last would I want to eat? I could live there for 100 years, and the last thing I would eat.
First of all, I live in America, and I don't even want to eat Domino's at the top. I don't know if I can say that, but like, it's like if KFC decided they was going to close all the KFC restaurants in the hood, black people wouldn't miss KFC. You want to know why? Because we make our own fried chicken. It's the same thing. Like, I just don't think Italians need crusty ass Domino's pizza.
This, the equivalent to this would be like Disney, Universal, no, what's a horrible theme park? Like Hurricane Harbor going, you know where we're going to go next? We're going to park right next to Disneyland. That'll be really good.
That'll be perfect. Like, it's it just doesn't make sense.
Obviously, people are going to go to Disneyland, not Hurricane Harbor. Obviously, people are going to get authentic Italian pizza and
when
not
I'm
Domino's.
In Italy. Right. So some of my favorite tweets about this is somebody said, I can't believe Domino's was delusional enough to believe it can make it in Italy. That's like Panda Express in China. And I go,
oh, see, I love an analogy. Same. Keep going. That's great. I can't wait for the next one.
Okay. I don't have another one. I do.
Oh, darn it.
Okay. So then another one says, Domino's failed in Italy. Makes sense. Don't nobody want that shit anyway. The last one I made up, but I feel like that's the general consensus of people on Twitter
so
at this point.
There's so many good analogies that you can make for this. So many. But yeah, it just makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't, I'm like worked up. See, this is what happens. Nobody want to eat that. I don't know. I've also never been to Italy, but I hear the food in Italy is simply amazing.
Right.
Why would they want the Domino's?
And Domino's is not a thing usually you get on vacation, so it's not for the tourists, like the Americans going there,
right,
essentially.
Yeah.
I bet you the people that live there in Italy would never even... And then let's say they haven't tried it, and then they go and try it, and they're like, what is this? Like, that's just not a good business
move. It's just not it. That's not it. I mean, shout out to Domino's. We still got them. They still hanging on in America.
If you want to sponsor team to verify, we're more. I love Domino's.
We love Domino's. It's the best.
No, but really, that makes no sense.
Whatever. All right. Can we get into our interview with Kelsey Dangerous?
Let's do it.
All right. Kelsey was a lot of fun. I felt like we kind of freaked out a little bit in the interview because we played The Sims when we were younger. And we were
I was a Sims kid. Like, actually Sims kid. But I talked about multiple times in the interview about how the university was my favorite pack. So I want to know everyone's favorite pack. I'm like, comment down below.
No, for real. All right. Let's get into our interview with Kelsey Dangerous right now.
Welcome back to Team Z Verified. I'm Steph.
I'm Wild.
And I'm Kelsey Dangerous.
Today, we're here with Kelsey Dangerous. You may know her as the Sims pro YouTuber, Twitch streamer, former BuzzFeed producer, and all things internet.
Like super content creator, though. I mean, like, Kelsey is the shit. What's going on, Kelsey?
Oh, nothing. Just enjoying your awesome offices. Thanks for having me here.
We're so happy to have you. I want to start from the beginning because I know a lot about The Sims thing. I know a lot about your Twitch streaming. I know a lot about your YouTube channel. I want to know how this whole thing began. Did you grow up in LA?
No, I grew up in the Midwest. Okay. I'm a Midwestern girl, born and raised.
Where?
I was born in Indianapolis, and then I moved to St. Louis.
Okay.
And went to school out there, and then I came to college in LA. So I've been here for a minute, but...
All right, so we won't talk about, like, because we're close in age, but, like, back in the day, because, like, I'm not from LA either, but, like, back in the day, there was no, like, content creator thing. Like, when we were growing up, this was, like, not even a thing.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, one day when I get big, I want to be a content creator for YouTube and make TikTok.
So like, how does it go from like growing up in the Midwest to now transforming into like this huge content person? Like, where did that spark start?
I grew up always being interested in being in entertainment in some capacity. I always loved playing video games or making stories, writing stories, performing in theater and things like that. I was just a very creative kid. And so the older I got, the more I kind of narrowed down my focus to acting and like performance, specifically stage or like film, TV, which made sense why I ended up in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. But then over time, when I like moved, I was very like isolated. I didn't know anyone in California when I moved. And so essentially what I did in my free time was watch YouTube.
Okay. Just, most
like,
of us.
Like, most of us, yes.
So I watched a lot of YouTube and they made me feel less alone. So when I, you know, graduated and had a lot of free time on my hand in between auditions and like doing like side work, I just ended up starting a YouTube channel for fun because I was like, maybe if I could someday, you know, make someone else feel less alone, it'd be like worth it, you know? And now kind of here I am after a lot of other steps, obviously. And then it worked out day one.
It really
She's like,
out.
And now I'm rich. No.
No,
but really, like, okay, so I do want to know, obviously, about your BuzzFeed journey. So how did that whole thing happen? How'd you start there?
It was super weird. So I applied to BuzzFeed and I was denied, actually, the first time I applied. And then I was on a short film for, like, I think it was just, like, a student, like, a film school student short film. It was like a film noir and I was like the femme fatale.
Of course. Small budget or no budget, right?
Small budget, but I did get to hold a dog. And,
okay.
Like, that's all that matters.
Mainly like the location we had a dog and I was like, it's my dog.
Just a random dog.
It's a character choice. But yeah, so it ended up that someone on that cast had just interned for BuzzFeed and was like, you'd be perfect for this. I think that you should do it. And we had pretty much just met. So a very kind soul was like, I'll recommend you. And so I applied again and I got in because of the recommendation. And then from there, I was an intern. And I was like, I worked with the intern class doing like producing videos, but learning on sets. I was on the sets of like all the Try Guys videos and all those kind of things. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then I got accepted into their fellowship program, which was like kind of like a step above where I was mainly producing. And then after kind of showing my stuff in the fellowship program, they offered me like a full-time job as a producer. And then they were like, well, you know, we've seen that you can kind of handle anything we throw at you. Right. What would you want to do? And I said, oh, I want to do gaming. And they were like, we don't do gaming. We're BuzzFeed. We do like female-centered content. Like, we don't do gaming. And I was like, but you could do gaming. And they're like,
oh. And you're a female. Like, yeah, it's just like,
I was
what?
Like, I was like, women watch gaming.
Yes.
And they were like, all right. Like, you go for it and you see what happens. And then it, like, after slow, deliberate working with like a team of other people that loved gaming at BuzzFeed, like we found our niche, and our niche ended up being The Sims, which was a long time love of mine from childhood.
And let me tell you, if you guys have not seen the BuzzFeed videos, her Sim challenges, just like, they're the best and they get so many views.
They're so,
so many.
Weird.
They are like a, you know, you gotta be a Sims person to like really enjoy them, but also great intro to Sims if you've never watched.
Yeah, there
great
were so
intro.
Many people that were like, I've never touched this game, but I watch every episode of
Where
this.
Do you grow up at that you didn't play The Sims?
I don't know.
Like, maybe because we didn't grow up in LA.
You didn't live in the Midwest.
Right, I'm like, maybe we didn't have anything else to do.
So you obviously do Sims now on your own channel.
Yes.
Check that out if you haven't seen it. They're just like the BuzzFeed ones, except 10 times better because it's all you.
Thanks.
And you can really tell that you're in your element for sure.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you... started the Sims thing at BuzzFeed. How did that sort of, did it right away take off or did they give you like multiple chances or?
Yeah, so with like BuzzFeed and just content creation in general, like you tend to put something out there, see how the audience reacts and then kind of like adjust, right? Like you want to be like, oh, they liked this, but maybe they didn't like this. Let's try it again. It's kind of like a science
makes
experiment.
Sense, yeah.
So that's kind of what happened with like making that first show. It wasn't like, ooh, accidental success. Like it was actually, like first I made a first gaming video that was like Halo and it was like us going to a Halo tournament.
Okay.
And that one did okay. And then we did, you know, another one where we tried playing weird indie games with Keith from the Try Guys, and he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And those games were hilarious, but the views didn't come in because no one knew what the game was.
Gotcha. Okay.
So then I was like, okay. And then as I was looking for the next game to put Keith in front of, another coworker of mine did Former Sims Players Play The Sims 4. So people mm-hmm. that played in their childhood but haven't played this one. And that one blew up. And so I was like, oh, I know The Sims. Why don't I put Keith in front of The Sims? But unfortunately, Keith had never played The Sims. And so I had to either just like sit down and explain it to him or be in the video with him. And at that point, I wasn't in the videos as much. I never put myself in my own videos. I was like a producer.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Like, and I was like, I don't want to be in front of the camera and behind it at the same time. But in this scenario, I was like, I'm probably the best person equipped to explain it. So I was like, I will be his side character. I'll be the person that's like the professional behind him trying to like, I will actually be like driving The Sims, and he'll just be shouting out commentary and telling me what to do and things like that. And that was like the first show, and it was called In Control with Keith. And I had Keith build all of his the other Try Guys and then control their lives and ruin them. And that was like the whole show. It was really funny. I think it was like the last thing he ever filmed at BuzzFeed actually before the Try Guys ended up piecing out. Like, I remember the day that we had, like, I was finishing up the episode, and he was like, all right, well, this is it. Like, I'm glad that this was the last thing I did. And I was like, what? Right. Because he did not tell me before that day. He was just a big surprise, like, peace out. And I was like, all right, live your dreams.
And you're like, okay,
wait. I miss you already.
Okay, so for people like Keith who may have never heard of The Sims, mm-hmm. don't know who those people are, where they live, but tell us, 10 seconds, what is The Sims for anyone who's never played the game?
Yeah, sure. It's like a simulated video game where you play with life, essentially. So you can make, like, humanoid sim characters that look like you or your friends or your favorite celebrities that you wanted to bang, you know? And then you can also build houses, rooms, you can like create their fashions, all kinds of things, and essentially just live their lives. There's a bunch of different ways to play The Sims. Some people are more interested in like home building and design, and some people are more into like causing mayhem, maybe killing the Sims in a pool.
Okay, also there's pets, there's like the supernatural Sims, there's like you could be a vampire, you could be a zombie, you could be like, I am a hardcore fan, like Sims person. So it's like, I don't understand how you don't know what The Sims is.
You could literally be this, you could recreate the Twilight, and then you could be Bella.
No, for real. like I would play it on my laptop, I had it on my Xbox, like, and it's like this weird ass like universe where you just kind of cause craziness. It's like the metaverse, but not the metaverse.
Yeah,
kind of explain like the language too. The Sims don't actually talk, they're like people, but what's
language? So Sims, like, in order to kind of like avoid being too one thing or the other, they made their own language and also like their own holidays. So instead of like Christmas, it's Winterfest. And so they also have their own language, which just kind of sounds like gobbledygook, to be honest.
Gibberish.
It's kinda, yeah, like gibberish. Yeah.
Even thinking about it makes me laugh.
But it's actually like, kind of cool when they play the music, like they play popular music. I'm such a weirdo, but
they have it taught in here in The Sims. But
it's so good.
What it's called? Simlish.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's called Simlish. Okay. And they'll have like, they used to in the 2000s, there was like a Katy Perry.
They had the Black Eyed Peas, like,
singing, girl, in Simlish. Like, it was so good.
Oh my gosh.
They had a little Katy Perry like outfit, and they had Paris Hilton was like, did a thing with the Sims at one point.
Yeah, I definitely felt like most celebrity figures have at some point been involved in some part of the Sim life.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
The language is just hilarious because it's not actual words, but you're like, oh, I know what they're saying, kind of.
Kind of. It's like all the inflection.
Yes, yes.
Which is really funny. And like on TikTok, people do that a lot where they'll like recreate songs in Simlish.
And oh, that's so
funny. Oh my God, it's so good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So do you feel like kind of as you're like this super big female like streamer in the Twitch community, do you feel like it's a little tough being a female gamer in the community, or has it been kind of like an open space?
Yeah, it depends. Honestly, I think it depends what pocket of gaming you're in. It's easy to get stuck in a little pocket of an area. So like on Twitch, you know, I have like moderators. So if people kind of try to be sassy or weird, we can just like get them out of there quick. But Yeah, like I feel like in the Sims community, it's so easy to be female because a large amount of Sims players mm-hmm. are female. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, misogyny and stuff is rampant in the Sims community. But like if, you know, if I start like moving into like an Apex Legends or like some other like kind of more like mainstream competitive masculine game, you will start seeing more and more of that. And it just depends on the community too. Yeah. Some communities are absolutely fabulous and some communities are absolutely toxic. Mm. And it can change from streamer to streamer and game to game. So it really depends. It's not quite like the one all-encompassing gaming is toxic thing that it might have used to be, but it's still there in sections, and it's at varying degrees. Some of it's like a little more low-key sexism, and some of it's like straight up people trying to dox you. And it can really change.
Right.
So for someone who hasn't been to your channel, how would you describe your content when it comes to The Sims? Because it's challenges, but can you explain sort of what it exactly is?
Yeah, so I like to take the game The Sims and make my own games out of them, my own challenges. And through those challenges, I like to tell stories. So it kind of is like a low-key sitcom in the end. So like a lot of them are family dynamics. So like, you know, a bunch of teens trying to sneak out and have like romantic interludes. And then the parents trying to raise the teens in certain ways. Like right now, I think I'm doing like a 10-generation challenge where each generation's like a color theme. Oh. And so 10 generations in The Sims is a long time.
That's a lot of play.
That's a lot.
I feel like I build a Sim and then I forget about them. But like this, I have to be dedicated. Well, this generation, my main character, he wants to be a crime lord.
Okay.
But he's also a single father of two adorable twin daughters. So he's like this like happy home man at home, like spoiling them. All of his money goes to them. But then at night, he's like getting in fights with the neighbors because they're too loud. And he like, you know, he got in a fight with Grim. Like death.
The Grim Reaper.
Okay. The Grim Reaper. And he won. So kind of proud of him. So he's like, he's out here like taking names and being a crime boss by day. And by night, he's like a happy, he's like grew from Despicable Me.
Right. What's the craziest challenge that you've done, you would say?
I mean, probably the 100 baby challenge is one
that
of the craziest challenges. It's where you have one matriarch and you're supposed to have 100 children, all
insane,
with different partners.
What?
But I've started doing a variation of that lately and it's called the Occult Baby Challenge. So it's the same thing, but I can only have like weird kids, not weird kids, but like occult kids. So like vampires, werewolves,
okay,
ghosts. I just had a baby with Santa Claus. It was, you know, it really messed us all up.
Wait, I never had the holiday expansion pack, so I never got
Seasons.
No, yeah, Seasons. That was the one I never got.
I had the university one.
Oh, university is good.
All right, wait. So I do want to kind of take it back to BuzzFeed a little bit. So you left BuzzFeed like last year.
Oh my God, yeah.
Has it been?
At the beginning of last year.
Yeah, it's been a while. 2021. Talk about, I feel like BuzzFeed has this kind of like mystique about it. Same thing with us.
Trending
like people
videos.
Don't know like what we do here.
Yeah, like Mr. BuzzFeed.
Right.
Literally the trending, like when you Google BuzzFeed, why I left BuzzFeed is like the top video. Everyone wants to know the reason, like why do you leave BuzzFeed?
BuzzFeed's interesting because it's such a like a pub, like the people in the company are very public, but the company is private because it's a company.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's this like duplicitous nature almost of like, you know, the audience expecting more information, but it's literally a company. So like, you're not really supposed to
and
just
like,
talk about
literally
company politics.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah. So what was your question about it?
So why did you leave BuzzFeed?
Welcome to my why I left BuzzFeed video. I think you all have been waiting for it. Actually, I do have a why I left BuzzFeed
you have
video. It was just time.
Yeah,
you know, like
I
think you know, when you're ever in like an office or work environment, things can like change over time. You've been there. I think I was there like 5 years or something, which is longer than the Try Guys were even there. So it's just like, you know, you grow, you change, you find all these opportunities. And at a certain point, I think it was really just that COVID happened.
Right.
I love being in the office. I love being with other people. I'm a big like extrovert. But when COVID happened, I was at home sequestered every day, all day making videos and doing streams and stuff out of my home.
Yeah.
And I realized that would be what it would be like if I was an independent creator. Like, and so before it felt like such a big jump and like kind of like taking away a lot of things that I loved about work. mainly the people.
Right, that office environment. Right. Yeah, it makes sense.
But when I was in COVID, I was like, I'm doing all this work, but I'm not doing it for me, mm-hmm. you know, and I could be. And I loved working with my team. I loved everybody, but I think it was just like, it just felt like it was time. It was like, I could be doing this all and investing in something new that's all mine. It ended up being like just a, you know, the right time to do it. I'd thought about it before. A lot of, you know, I don't feel like BuzzFeed's one of those businesses. And honestly, most businesses these days aren't those businesses that you join when you're young and spry and then you like work there for 30 years.
Oh, who's right, doing that? Right, right. Who's doing that?
I say that. Anymore. No. It used to be a thing once.
And yeah, no, I got
now.
Things to do. I can't right? be here forever.
Right. And like, you know, BuzzFeed's like a young company. It's supposed to be that new people come in and like, mm-hmm. you know, have their crack at it and change things up. So it was time for me like to try to see if I could make it on my own. And so far it's worked out fine.
You really did it. Yes.
So yeah.
I have like a fan question as like a BuzzFeed fan.
Oh, heck yeah. Let's look out.
Which people are you still friends with from BuzzFeed? Like keep in touch with?
I'm still in touch with the Try Guys. Okay. They're still great and awesome. Michelle Carre and I are still friends. I see everybody around a bit. Like you all kind of see each other at different events and things like that. But like texting every day. YB is like my best friend from BuzzFeed.
Okay, I was wondering if you guys are still friends.
We just had lunch yesterday. Okay. She gives me all the tea from, you know, her life. And
it's almost like you guys become a little bit like influencers right off the bat because you guys are shown on this huge platform and then your friendships are public. Like the fact that I know mm-hmm. who her friend is like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. You know, like we were just like, especially at BuzzFeed, the way it happens, like why you become a BuzzFeed like character in the universe is kind of dumb. It's just like your friends, you know, have a video idea and they're like, you'd be good in it. You're expressive. And they put you in it. And that's it. There's no like casting. It's not like, ooh, who should I? It's just like we get along well and I guess you'd be good in this
like,
video.
The vibe is right.
Yeah.
Kelsey.
And so YB and I were already like really close friends. And then our friend Evan was like making food videos and he was like, you two love to eat. Like, let's all just go eat together and have that be our job. And we're like, we're not going to say no. And then he ended up being like, no, we're gonna do spicy food challenges, and that's when it took a turn.
You're like, I'm out.
It took a turn.
So what were those first couple of months like though? Because you left BuzzFeed and you're like, I can do this, but mm-hmm. what was it like initially? Was it like it cooking was, or was it like goddamn?
It was
like,
weird because like I had been prepping this for months. Okay. Like I was like I hadn't told that many people too. Right. So like the month before I left, I like straight up, like, you probably shouldn't do this as a person, but I love BuzzFeed so much. So I literally sat in I didn't tell anyone why I did this, but I sat in the studio and I filmed months worth of content for BuzzFeed and just gave it to them. Like, and I finished the BuzzFeed challenge. Oh, so the 100 baby challenge was finished in like 1 month. I like shot everything for like, I think 3 or 4 months of content in 1 week and was like, here you go. I want you guys to have the end of the show. Like, I know it makes sense for the fans. They'd want it. And I know, like, I don't want to leave you guys in the lurch with, like, people asking about this for the rest of time.
Right.
Because
right?
If I left in the middle of the challenge, all of their videos would have people going, what happened What's to the 100 challenge? Yeah, where did it go? Right. You know? So I was like, here's my parting gift. Like, I want you guys to have this. And so because of that, it gave me, like, 3 or 4 months to pretend I still worked for BuzzFeed. I just started like hustling on my own and like, you know, putting out more and more videos on my channel, getting things used to it. And then, but I didn't have to like announce that I'd left yet. Mm. And so then I prepared like new graphics and new, you know, announcement videos and whatever, and got all of that kind of sorted for like the next 3 or 4 months. And then finally announced my departure on the day that the last episode of that show aired. Yeah. So then it was like, oh no, what do I do with this show that I've watched for 2 years? You go to her channel
that she's been prepping for the last 4 months.
So smart.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, I was very deliberate about like the transition, trying to make it as smooth and comfortable for everybody as possible, because like I still care about everyone at BuzzFeed. Yeah. I still work with them regularly and talk with them, and I'm still friends with a lot of them. So yeah, I just wanted to be good vibes for everybody, and it ended up working out too well for me. Like that it ended in a new thing.
It shows
began.
A lot about your character too, because you really cared about like the fans. Like you're like, yeah, I'm leaving BuzzFeed, mm-hmm. but I care about, yes, they were going to your channel. Let's keep that in mind. Like you got you know, but you really cared about.
Oh, of course.
Really,
yeah. I mean, like, you know, if it
talk
was
about
me,
an exclusive. That's, like, really cool.
True. If it were me, like, I wouldn't want my favorite show,
right,
my comfort YouTuber, just to, like, up and leave halfway through my favorite thing.
Totally.
You know, you'd want to see it to the end. And it was, like, also a really sweet ending. We, like, we really tried to pull out all the stops, and I, like, got one of my friends who does music to write a song for me.
What?
So I literally sing a weird, it is so embarrassing, it's very cringe, but I sing a weird song at the end that, like, summarizes the whole thing, and we, like, throw, like, streamers, and I cry, and it's a whole thing.
Oh,
it's
my God.
The drama. I love it, though.
The finale episode is so cute.
I
cried so hard. Because it was like, I think that show lasted like 3 or 4 years. And really, my career like took off from that show. Like,
right,
it was like an overnight sensation. It was absolutely wild. And my life changed very drastically like after that.
So you knew when you were leaving that you were going to continue doing Sims on your channel then?
Yeah, that's good. You know, give the people what they want.
Has Sims ever contacted you about like a collaboration? Because obviously I feel like they would have seen these videos that
I'm friends with the people that make the Sims.
Well, you did the EA collab. I saw that on your Instagram. Yeah.
So I've not ever been asked to collaborate on like the game itself
or like an expansion pack.
Yeah, no, they've never asked me, but I'm always interested. EA.
What would your dream expansion pack for it be?
I mean, they just did an expansion pack that was very close to my dream. I wanted like a teen centric one, and they just did a high school pack, so that was pretty cool. But I feel like fairies. If you want to do a fairies pack.
Because we only got like a little taste of the fairies in the Supernatural one, and it's
That
was
because
three.
It was exactly.
They're not even in Sims 4. There's no fairies in Sims 4. I'm like,
well,
listen.
Oh, yes.
We need some fae. We need all the YA lovers their fae.
I feel like they will reach out.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Totally.
But I've worked with them. Actually, they did a reality show that where people competed in The Sims, and I was
Why
a judge.
Why have I not seen this?
It's called The Sims Sparked.
Okay.
And it was on, I think, it was on TV for a minute, but then it's also on YouTube. I think it's on BuzzFeed.
Ooh,
and it's fun. It's a lot of the bigger Sims creators all competing together on teams, making, like, different things, and I had to judge. And I felt such, like just imposter syndrome. I was like, I think I was still working at BuzzFeed at the time, and I was like, I'm not even a
You're
real
like, not
Sims
right,
creator,
yeah.
Right? I'm a BuzzFeeder, and I'm like judging these like hardened Sims creators that have like these huge followings, and I'm just like, I shouldn't be here. But it was so fun. I met a lot of like cool people that I still talk to today.
Okay, your favorite expansion pack and your least favorite expansion pack.
Ooh, favorite, probably seasons.
Okay.
I feel like, or pets. Like, I feel
pets.
Like,
pets.
Changing.
We didn't even talk about pets. Let me tell you. Go ahead. Because I'm like.
No, tell me.
Okay,
tell me
because
everything.
They took it to the next level because I had The Sims Pets. I think it was on Sims 2. Mm-hmm. But then when they had the Pets expansion pack on The Sims 3, when they got horses, I go, no fucking way. No. Was that.
They don't have horses in Sims 4. It's a big issue in the community. Let me tell you. They don't have horses and they don't have cars. And everyone.
Oh, let me grab my fucking torches and pitchforks. Like, what?
Right,
you're
not like the Twitter streets. Bring our horses back. Sims 4 Equestrian. That's your dream pack.
Wait, because so I did actually play a little bit of The Sims 4 like when it first came out, but it wasn't as good. But they don't have, you don't transport yourself in your car anymore. Isn't it like loading screens?
No, yeah. It's not open world. They had to dial it back because it was like too big of a game.
It was insane.
It, I couldn't run The Sims 3.
Okay, wait.
Too big. Sorry.
Sorry. Least favorite expansion pack. Or maybe the
it's
one
hard.
You're not excited to play.
Yeah.
The most.
Oh, the one I'm like. Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know. I use a little bit of most of them, and it's hard to like differentiate which one's which. So I feel like the least favorite is probably the one that is most forgettable, and I don't remember it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I couldn't even tell you it because I probably don't play it that much.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, actually, you know what? Get to Work probably is one of the least.
Yeah, no.
That one was great conceptually, but like I just feel like it fell a little flat, unfortunately.
It did fall. Yeah.
The university one was my favorite.
That one's a good one.
So good. How long do these videos take you, these sim challenges, like in a day's worth of filming?
I film for 2 hours for each video.
Okay.
And then it comes out around like 20 to 40 minutes normally of like content goes online.
Okay.
So it's quite a bit. And then when I stream, it's like 2 to 3 hours.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was going to be like 8 hours. Because I can never leave, like The Sims.
No, I have. I'm pretty rigid. Like, okay. I have to like, I'll only film for a couple hours and then move on. Because it's also too much content to like edit.
Right.
If you had 8 hours of content to edit every week, you would
totally
literally
it would
die.
Take that way makes too sense. Long.
Okay, so you have a good schedule.
Yeah. So it's not too bad, but it is like if you consider like how much, you know, a non-gaming YouTuber films, it's probably more like 30 minutes, right? They'll sit down and they'll tell a story. Right. Or like a vlog might just be throughout the day.
It'll just be up random.
But I've just sit down at a desk at least 4 hours to game, which is, you know, the worst. I hate it. It's
such a rough life.
So hard. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to, than the filming process, but that's normally.
Yeah,
like
I was always curious about
time.
That.
All right, I want to switch gears a little bit. Can we talk about acting?
Oh, sure.
I mean, because Kelsey, like, what is your plan for your acting career? Because I know you've done a few things.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, what's your goal?
I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of just, like, not as into acting as I used to be. So I feel like it's just, like, letting the projects come to me.
Okay, I feel
that.
Yeah,
and, like, and getting into them when it works. Like, I just did... there's a movie called One Up. BuzzFeed actually helped produce it. Went up on Amazon Prime. And I play myself. And it's like about an esports team, like a women only esports team.
Oh, that is really fucking
in
cool.
In college. Yeah. And I play like myself as an interviewer. So that was like really fun getting to like, it was weird being in a movie as myself.
No, that is one of my goals. Yes, that is literally one of my goals to be in a movie as me.
Yep. So it was like, I don't know why I'm a cool enough person to just play myself in this movie, but it was really fun. I got to like be like the sportscaster interviewer and things like that. So
cool.
I like fun like creative projects. So I'll jump into things from time to time. Like I still like do auditions and things like that, but for the most part, I'm focused on like my digital stuff.
Speaking of jobs, you've talked about your weird jobs that you've had in the past, and I just want to touch on that a bit. can you please elaborate on some of the strange jobs that you've had? Because I was shook, literally.
Like, are you talking about like the zoo?
Yes. What do you mean? And the hospital.
Oh, that was a lie. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That was like an ad.
Everyone, that was a lie.
It was an ad and it was like a joke. You know, it was like, the joke was that I'd start about how I talk, like I was working in this hospital and it was really weird. Mm. And then it turned out that I was actually telling you just the plot of a movie. Or no, it was a podcast.
That just means I'm gullible.
I'm so sorry. That was the joke, was that it was not real. It was
okay,
the plot
but tell
of
us
a
about
podcast.
The zoo then.
So I used to work. My first job was at the zoo, the St. Louis Zoo.
Also, kind of jealous because like, who
That's
don't like
kind
animals?
Of a flex.
Wasn't that
like...
a cute? Yeah, it was hot as hell though. I was outside in the summer in the Midwest with no shade, in khakis, and you know, classic
zookeeper
like,
chic.
First, maybe zookeeper chic, and I like tour tickets, but I also got to do the tour on the back of the train. So that was the best day. Mm-hmm. Was I sat on the back of the train and I would be like, on your right, you would see the penguin house built in blankety blank blank. The penguin house is home to emperor penguins, other penguins, and baby penguins. And then I would just like, we would go through the whole park. That was so much fun. Some days I would get really bored and I'd switch in between accents and see if anyone noticed.
Yeah, switch it, spice it up a little bit.
No one said anything. So I don't know if they're just like, this girl is weird or, oh, this girl is British. And randomly
they go, Shane had an accent last summer when we saw it.
I'm going to start doing that when I go out. I'm going to just have to do that.
That is my favorite game to play. You go to bars and you meet strangers and you just talk as if you're like, you make up a whole backstory.
Brilliant.
I do this all the time. One time it got me in trouble though, because it was like, I think it was like New Year's or something, and it was Halloween. I was out at an event. I was like completely, you know, in a Halloween getup.
You love Halloween.
I love Halloween. And I was talking to this guy who was dressed as I think it was the Phantom of the Opera. And I was trying to tell him that I was brand new in town. I just came to LA. It's so big. Like, oh my gosh. You know, like trying to just be this like wide-eyed little thing that just came in from the South or whatever. Halfway through the conversation, he was buying everything. All of it. Hook, line, and sinker. Halfway through the conversation, he was like, wait, Kelsey? And he was from my acting class.
No!
But he did not recognize me for like an hour. I was like,
you were talking for an hour about your fake life?
Yes, about my fake life.
He squint, he goes,
and he did not, yeah. And he was like, wait! And he started laughing.
The fact that you didn't recognize him.
Listen, I recognize no one. I
You're like, look, it's Halloween. I'm lit. It's Phantom of the Opera. Like,
Okay. That's hilarious.
I did not recognize him. And I was like, oh.
Half with your fake life, he's like, I think I know you.
Wait a second. I think my friend came up and said my name, and I was like,
oh, fuck, goddamn.
It's not Clarabelle.
So, Kelsey, what are you doing with the rest of your summer?
Well, the rest of the summer, I'm going to see family. Okay. I have two baby nieces that are growing so fast, so I'm going to go see them, hang out with my friends, just take it pretty easy. There's only like a month left.
Tell us what's next on your channel or your Twitch streams or what's coming up?
Pretty much the same, honestly. I just started a new challenge. It's the occult baby challenge. So I think we're on like episode 6 or 7. So we're going to keep going with that one until we finish. And then I just started a new runaway teen challenge on Twitch where I play as a teen that has no money and no house and ran away from her parents and is going to high school. And we just, asked our dream boy Jeb to prom and he said yes. But my friend also asked me to prom and I had to tell her no. And it was really awkward.
Not drama.
She doesn't like me anymore. I was like, were you just my friend because you wanted to date me? But anyway, yeah, so that's what's happening on my channel.
We can look forward to that on the channel.
I wish I had something fun to drop. I was like, actually, thank you for asking. I have my new, something. CD is coming out. Kelsey Jams.
All right, Kelsey Dangerous. Thanks so much. Wait, also, how do you pronounce your last name? Because we were trying.
Oh, sure.
Impeachy. Okay, I was close.
It's Italian.
I wasn't even gonna, like.
Cut that out in case. Is that offensive? Yeah. I'm like,
no.
Okay.
It's Italian. I don't think, you can really be offensive to.
I mean.
Italian last name.
I mean, I'm Italian, so I'm not sure.
I'm barely speaking English over here.
Honestly, same. Speak English.
I can hardly pronounce half of the streets in Los Angeles.
I can barely keep up with slang. As is, like,
no, for real.
I do miss being in the office because you have to hear slang so third hand. I only pick up slang on TikTok now because I don't talk to people. All my friends are like kind of, they're like over slang. And I'm like, I love slang. I only want to talk in slang.
Only want to talk like the kids. Kelsey Dangerous, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Thank you guys so much for watching. That was a great interview with Kelsey Dangerous.
Yeah, that was fun.
I learned everything I need to know about The Sims, BuzzFeed,
I feel
secrets.
Like my childhood self was like freaking out inside.
Yeah, we have amazing interviews coming up with people on your feed, people you may not know, people you do know. Great things coming. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you next week.
Bye.